Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Every Thursday, as we have these live programs from Radio Sai, the segment that comes in the end is Vahini Satsang. We started this offering many months ago, the objective being to spend time contemplating on the purest message for mankind gifted by Bhagwan. The Vahinis, as we know, emerged from Bhagwan. At that particular year of Bhagwan's avatarhood, wherein Bhagwan had said, the first 16 years of my life will be spent in Leelas, the next 16 years will be spent in Mahimas, and after that will start Upadesha. Exactly 32 years after Bhagwan took advent, when the Upadesha phase began, Bhagwan started his immortal effort to help all mankind. Bhagwan painstakingly every month wrote down his message, and that continued for decades. And that is how we have the Vahinis. Since this is the message that came directly from Swami, there was no translator. Swami himself wrote down. There was no interpretation. There was no interlocutor in between. We feel this is the message that is as true as it can be to what Bhagwan wanted to give mankind. And it has been our effort to disseminate this message, to help us dwell on this message, to make this message our life. Towards this goal, we started the Vahini Satsang, and we started with Prema Vahini, which went on for more than 100 episodes. After that, we are now in Sandeha Nivarini. We are in chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini. And this chapter is broken down into different segments just for ease of understanding and to help us break the discussion into different segments. We are now in segment 7.4. If you have been following this series, this is a chapter where Bhagwan, at the request of the Bhakta also is Swami, as we know, that is how Bhagwan has written Sandeha Nivarini. He as a devotee questions and he as the Lord answers. In this chapter, Bhagwan, at the request of the devotee, delineated very beautiful principles that we should follow, which will take us closer to the divine, which will help us to experience and deserve the grace of the divine. And we have been spending time understanding each of these beautiful directions that Swami has given us. There are so many of them. Today, we will spend time understanding the 32nd principle that Swami gives in this chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini. So like in every episode of this program, let's listen to what Bhagwan has written in this segment, and then we will pray to Swami that he gives us the understanding to assimilate what he is trying to convey, and then the strength to practice that in real life. So let's listen to segment 7.4.
Try as far as possible within your means to satisfy the needs of the poor, who are really Daridra Narayana. Share with them whatever food you have and make them happy. 32. Whatever you feel should not be done to you by others. Avoid doing such things to others. 33. For the faults and sins committed in ignorance, sincerely repent from your heart and try not to repeat the faults and sins again. Pray to God to bless you with the strength and the courage needed for you to do this. 34. Do not allow anything to come near you, which will destroy your eagerness and enthusiasm for God. Lack of enthusiasm will cause the decay of the strength of man. 35. Yield not to cowardice. Hold on to Ananda. 36. Do not get welled up when people praise you. Do not feel dejected when people blame you. 37. If among your friends anyone hates another and starts a quarrel, do not attempt to inflame them more. On the other hand, try to ensure that they come together with love. 38. Do not search for others' faults. Instead, search for your own mistakes yourself and throw them away. It is enough if you search and discover one fault of yours. That is better than discovering 10 faults in others. 39. Even if you cannot or will not do any punya or good deed, do not conceive or carry out any papa or bad deed. This is best. 40. Whatever people may say about the faults that you know are not in you, do not feel for it. As for the faults that are in you, try to correct them yourself, even before others point them out to you. Do not harbor anger or bitterness against persons who point out your faults. Do not retort, pointing out the faults of those persons themselves, but show your gratitude to them. Instead, if you try to discover their faults, that would be a greater mistake on your part. It is good for you to know your faults. It is no good to search the faults of those who pointed out your mistakes. This would be of no use. 41. Whenever you get a little leisure, do not spend it in talking about all and sundry, but utilize it in meditating on God, or it is good to render service to others.
So those are Bhagwan's directions for us in this segment 7.4. There are more such instructions that Bhagwan has given. This whole chapter is full of these jewels. If we take the 32nd point, in the previous session we discussed the point number 31 where Bhagwan was talking about how we should serve Daridra Narayanas. In 32nd, Swami is saying, whatever you feel should not be done to you by others, avoid doing such things to others. Do not do unto others what you would want others to do unto you. We have often read this. It is there in so many scriptures of various faiths. Such a simple thing to actually practice, but sometimes it becomes difficult. Suppose in the morning you go to bring milk from a shop and there is a queue. You join the queue. Maybe you are in a hurry. So if you are in a hurry, what will you do? You'll somehow try to find a shortcut to see somehow if you can enter the queue in the middle and manage to take the milk before the others, even though they had come before than you. And if you're able to do it, you will congratulate yourself for being smart, for being able to achieve that little job. If suppose someone else had done this, wherein that person who came later than you got the milk before you and happily walked off, you would have been so irritated, so disgusted. I am standing here waiting for 15 minutes. How can this person come and manage to take the milk before me? How mean he is. That probably would have been your response. And that day when you took the milk before others, that would have been the state of so many people too, isn't it? Probably they did not raise their voice. Maybe they just let it be because it is early in the morning and no one was really in a mood to shout and quarrel and all that. But just like you don't want anybody to do anything that leaves you irritated and angry, let us also not do anything that will make other people feel the same. And if you think about this, there are any number of examples from our daily life, hundreds of such instances. Now if you take this case from a different standpoint, suppose you really urgently needed the milk for a genuine reason. Maybe there is a baby at home, maybe a senior person is very sick. Probably there would have been people who would have understood your predicament and they would have allowed you to take the milk before them. Now tomorrow, if you are in the queue and similarly someone else comes like this with a genuine request, then you should also be accommodative and not groan and grumble saying, no, you should have come early. I also have problems. I have been standing here for so long. You can't do this. So Bhagwan is saying, if every time we want to be treated nicely, we want to be respected, we want to be honored, we want to be made feel important, then that is what we should be doing. However we want to be treated, that is how we should be treating others. And whatever you feel you don't want to come to you, please do not do that to others. That is what Bhagwan is saying, because as Swami in so many of his discourses has mentioned, everything in this universe, everything that we experience is reaction, reflection, resound. Everything that we go through in life is something that we have created for ourselves, knowingly or unknowingly. It might be very difficult to sometimes accept this. We are going through pain and we might feel, what did I do for this? I have done nothing. I simply got this infection. I simply was put into this difficult situation. I have not done anything to deserve this. More often than not, we think like this. And it is natural. But the truth is, nothing that we experience in life is something that we have not created it ourselves. In fact, if we closely observe this in our lives, if we contemplate on this, if we try to analyze our life through this standpoint, we will see how so many things are just boomerang of what we had done before. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. When and how it will boomerang is anybody's guess. If we don't want our life to be in a mess, we have to think through before we engage in any deed, because lovely mangoes can come only from a mango seed. It will not come from a jackfruit seed or a lemon seed. Mangoes will come only from mango seed. That is why Bhagwan, time and again in his discourses, stressed that if someone is ridiculing you, take it that it is not the other person but your own evil feelings which are being returned to you in the shape of that ridicule. Swami says the reaction, reflection and resound is the root cause of all the sufferings, all the sorrows of a human being. Man is an embodiment of love, peace and bliss. Because we forget our true nature and we do things that are contrary to love, peace and bliss, we face the consequences which are not love, peace and bliss, and then we feel, oh my God, I am suffering. How can this happen to me? This is not fair. Swami says, you see a person approaching you and you think that that person is your enemy. And once you have that feeling, the more you have this hatred in you, and when that person comes in the front, you don't greet him with love. You don't say, hi, how are you? Because you feel, no, the other person is someone I don't like. But whenever someone comes in front of us, we expect and we want that the other person is nice to us. Even if the other person is someone we don't agree with all the time, but we want that we should always be treated with decency, kindness. But somehow, when we have to extend that to everyone, we hesitate at times. When we do that, automatically we experience that it comes back to us. Bhagwan gives this little sweet story of a young cowherd boy who went to the forest for grazing. And while the cattle were grazing, this boy started singing very loudly. And as he was singing, he heard the echo. His song echoed from the hills. And the innocent boy thought that, oh my God, someone is imitating me to make fun of me. I am singing and somebody is singing exactly the same manner. How rude of that person. He's teasing me. He grew angry. And when he returned home, he went to his mother and he complained saying, Mother, Mother, I don't want to go to the forest tomorrow. I can't take the cattle and go for grazing. There is someone in the forest who is very mean, who is imitating whatever I sing. I hate him. How can you do that? And the mother said, No, no. No one can be like this. tomorrow I will go with you. We will sort it out. Don't worry. And so the next day when the mother went, the boy took the mother behind the hills, and now, like the day before, he started singing loudly, and as he started singing, the sound echoed, the resound of the same song was heard, and the mother now laughed and said, "Oh, this is not someone else repeating your song, my dear. Nobody is making fun of you. You are thinking someone is teasing you. That is not true. Whatever you sing, the same thing is just coming back to you. It is just a resound. That is the law of nature. The hills are there. And that is the reason why your voice and your sound is coming back to you." When we think about it, this is what happens to us. This is the law of nature. Everything that we do will come back to us. And that is the reason why Swami is saying, do not do unto others what you don't want others to do to you. When someone scolds us, when someone behaves in a manner that hurts us, like this foolish boy, we say, someone is teasing me, someone is making fun of me, someone is ridiculing me. And if you go to Swami, just like this little boy went to the mother, just like the mother laughed and said, "Oh, little one, this is the law of nature. You're so innocent. You do not understand that this is basically your own voice that is coming back." Same thing will happen if you go to Swami. "Swami, this person has hurt me. I'm going through this in my life. How did this happen?" If you go and pray, then the Divine Mother, Swami, will say, "Oh, foolish one, nobody is doing anything to you. This is something that you only have created. You're not able to recognize. What can I do? You only have let this out, and that has come back." So that is the truth of life. That is the reality of life. It is like the house of mirrors. There is this house of mirrors in the south of England, which is a well-known tourist attraction. Those who have been there or to a similar place will appreciate what incredible distortions these mirrors cause. The mirrors of different sizes and curvatures are seen mounted on all walls of this mansion, and in front of one mirror you see your image, which is your true image, and you move on and then see another image wherein your head has become big. It is a large head. Another mirror, once you go, the way the mirror is placed, the angle and the curvature, your stomach looks so small. You go to another mirror and now your legs look like they are matchsticks. Another mirror shows that you have a large round belly. And you go to yet another mirror and you will see that your head is like a peanut. As you move on from one mirror to other, you will see various contortions, twisted faces, disproportionate limbs, monstrous looking faces, and so on. But everything is actually the same individual. The same individual but distorted in a multitude of ways according to the curvature of each mirror. Jagadguru Sri Adi Shankaracharya, the founder of the doctrine of Advaita or the non-dualism, had said that the entire manifest universe, the Prakriti, is like a mirror. And that is the purpose it serves. Everything perceived by the senses are mere reflections of the one that became many. Bhagwan used to give this interesting example of a dog that sees itself in a mirror, thinking that it is seeing another dog. This dog barks at its reflection. And when it barks, the reflection dog also barks back, of course. And now this dog becomes furious. Like this little boy, this dog feels, how can this dog in front of me in the mirror bark at me? And it becomes furious and he begins to now attack the other dog. And as he attacks, that dog jumps into that mirror, and now mirror falls down and breaks into hundreds of pieces. And now what happens? Now he sees not just one dog, there are so many dogs, because in every piece of mirror he is seeing that there is a new dog created. Earlier when he barked, there was one dog barking back, but now there are hundreds of dogs barking back, and he goes mad. He doesn't understand what is happening. Swami says, this is actually the truth of life. Whatever we are experiencing is what we have created for ourselves. This prakriti is the mirror. When we don't understand this, that's when we become mad. We go mad thinking, how can this happen? That is the reason why Swami says that like the house of mirrors, the mind also causes untrue and distorted impressions of our sensory input. Our outer five sense organs, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, they receive the signals from the outer world of objects, peoples and events, and they transmit them to the mind, which is the inner instrument of cognition. And the cognitive aspect of the mind processes the signals received from the five outer sense organs according to its own conditioning. We see not what the eye see, but what our brain understand of what the eye see. Thus we see, hear, feel, think and do is the result of our own internal conditioning. The same thing someone else sees, they will see something else. So it is quite obvious that all these perversions or impressions that we are seeing is because of our own conditioning. And that is the reason why Swami used to always say that you have to be like walking mirrors. You have to see yourself as a walking mirror encasing the divine essence of love. Because only when you have that perspective of love, you will see everything as love and you will get everything back also as love. In fact, Bhagwan used to say that even if someone comes in front of you who is your opponent, if you can smile, if you can greet that person with love, he will have to respond with love. But if there are reservations in you, then automatically that will get reflected. In fact, I remember when Bhagwan was there in the physical form and we used to see Swami, that is what always it felt like. Swami is just reflection, reaction, resound. He reacts to how you treat and you relate to him. If you are pure, he will reflect in the same way. If there is something that is polluted in you, his reactions also will be in the same manner. And that is the reason why Swami said, know that you are the embodiment of love, know your true nature and behave and act from that standpoint. Then you will see how everything that comes to you is something that is welcome, because it will be laced with love. Sometime back, a radio sai reader had sent this beautiful experience. Now, this brother was working at a help desk for an internet company in New Zealand. And as part of his job, he had to interact with customers who called up for help in fixing up their internet connections. And like any employee at the help desk, this brother also used to get his fair share of disgruntled customers, customers not happy, customers who are either complaining or addressing an issue that has long been left unresolved, irritated customers, disgusted customers, as well as happy customers, grateful customers. So one day at work, he had one of those difficult customers. And many of the company's agents had given this particular individual, who was a lady, the runaround. And this lady, that is the reason she was always very annoyed. You could sense from her voice about her disgust. She was very upset and very abusive over the phone. But this brother wanted to treat that situation differently than how others had dealt. He kept calm and he patiently listened to all her problems as she poured out in anger. And even though this brother was listening with a lot of patience, that lady could not stop abusing because of her earlier unpleasant experience. And this brother tried to explain the situation and he said how that internet problem can be solved. But nothing seemed to satisfy this lady. And this brother was thinking, what should I do? He never lost his cool, but he remembered Bhagwan and he prayed to Swami. And he recollected how Bhagwan always said that we should speak sweet and simple words sprinkled with love. That is the only thing that can heal the other person. Especially when you are talking to someone on phone, that is the only thing that you can do. So this brother just kept that lady on hold and he consulted one of his superiors on the exact solution for her problem. He had tried to explain to her, but he thought he will do a little more homework. But the superior said that they had already explained to her, it is the same solution. So many people have tried to help her make her understand how to solve the problem. But somehow, this lady has not been easy to deal with. So the superior simply said, I don't know what you're going to do, all the best, but that is a problem. We can't deal with this lady. So now this brother just took a deep breath, thought about Swami and restored the call. And with a lot of love, again he explained to that lady the solution to her problem. There was only one answer to her problem. And he explained that to her with a lot of patience. And even as he was doing that, he was praying to Swami to fill this lady with peace, with patience, with understanding. And then the brother went on and told this lady, you know what, I also had a similar problem some time back. And I know what you're going through. Don't worry, this is what you need to do. We will do our best to help you. And he also said that I will pray that your problem gets resolved as soon as possible. And he spoke with so much empathy, with so much of heart, that lady suddenly changed. Her anger subsided. Not only subsided, it in fact came down so much that she now began to speak very normally, in her normal voice, normal tone. And after so many minutes of being on the receiving end of her wrath, when she spoke calm words, for this brother, it almost appeared as if Swami had come by the side of that lady and patted her on the shoulder, saying, it's okay, life goes on, don't worry, it'll get resolved. I mean, that is the kind of transformation that happened in this lady. Just a few sentences that this brother spoke, empathizing with her condition, and sincerely offering to do everything that is possible within his means to help the lady. And now the phone call, which usually with this lady used to be a short one, now became a much longer conversation. That lady was so happy talking. There was so much of expansion of love. That lady now started speaking with a lot of gratitude. It almost felt that the lady had finally found a person who could relate to her problem, and who could listen to her problem, who could empathize with her problem. And the phone call that had started with anger now ended with laughter. Just a genuine effort to reach out to her made so much difference, made a miracle of love to manifest. This brother did not ever want to be treated the way he was treated before. And so what is the solution? If you want to be treated with love, you love. Do not do unto others what you do not want others to do unto you. Because that lady is speaking to me rudely, if I also speak to me rudely, obviously a spark neglected burns the house. It will become anger, and then it will become fireworks. But since I want that only love should come to me, then the only way of doing it is I offering love. In fact, this brother says, on another day when he was walking back from work, he happened to walk past a man who looked quite familiar. And as he moved past that person, he noticed that that person did not appear happy or really impressed to see this brother. And he was wondering, why did that person appear so unfriendly, and why was there so much disdain in the way he walked and in the way he conducted when this brother was in front of him. This brother recognized that that person was a superior at work in the same office as his, but in another department. And he thought, maybe, you know, that superior had some issue in the office. Maybe it was a bad day for him. That's the reason why he was so impolite and so disgusted and not happy to see me. So the next day, again it happened that he crossed paths with this superior. And this time this brother did not want to lose this opportunity. Because this time too, this superior did not look too happy to see this brother. And now this brother thought, there is something wrong. Why is it that this superior, whenever in front of me, he is never happy? It's almost as if he does not like my presence. Why is it so? And he said to himself, next time I am face to face with this person, I will give him a big smile. Because I want a smile from him, so I should give a smile. So on the third day, as they crossed each other in the office, this brother greeted him with a discreet but loving smile. And that superior was a little surprised. He just did not give it much attention. In return, he only gave a very serious and very morose look. And for anybody, you know, it would definitely be very discouraging. I mean, you are so warmly smiling at someone and the response that you get is only disdain and you are not welcome kind of a feeling. But this boy did not give up. This brother resolved to himself that every time he passes by this superior, he will greet him with a smile. He in fact made it like the mission of his life to evince a smile out of that man. And so days passed. And it was always the same depressing story. Every time he would smile and that superior from the other department would just not bother and he would just brush his smile aside. But this brother continued his onslaught, his smile onslaught on this man. He stayed positive and it went on for days together. After a week of such relentless pursuit, after 7 days, suddenly, when this brother smiled, the superior also smiled. And the most interesting thing, this day, it happened first from him, from the superior. And imagine the joy of this brother. He's been trying to do this. And comes the day when the superior himself smiles. And the brother says, that moment I felt, Swami, it is you who is smiling through that superior. Because Swami, it is you who motivated me to go that extra mile so that I could share your love with a stranger. I know, Swami, through that unexpected smile, you rewarded my intentions and my efforts. You taught me that if I persist with love, love will come to me. Is it not said that a smile is a curve that can set all things straight? Simple expression of love uplifted both the recipient and the giver. If we can broadcast love by whichever means possible, smiling, singing, email, post, whatever, the same love will boomerang to us. And it will happen sometimes multifold, tenfold in magnitude. But ultimately all that matters is our love for him and how we share this sacred love with everyone around. Why is it that sometimes we are not able to practice this? As I was thinking about it, what occurred to me, based on what Bhagwan has also mentioned, is we can actually place this in the three stages of journey of a spiritual aspirant the three philosophies, Dvaita, Vishishta, Dvaita, Advaita, dualism, qualified non-dualism and non-dualism. Sometimes we are not able to love the other person, or we have feelings of hatred or disinterestedness in the other person because we think that the other person is different from me. That is Dvaita. Other person is different from me. I don't like that person. He and I are different. He is like this, but I am like this. And it is because of this differentiation that we are not able to so easily express our love. And from there on, we move to the next stage, what is Vishishta Advaita, qualified non-dualism, wherein we feel, no, I am connected to this person. Because that is what is Vishishta Advaita, isn't it? Where you don't feel that the other person is different, you feel that the other person is somewhere related to you. If in front of us, if a stranger or someone we don't like, then our behavior will be something else. But if it is our own family member, then our behavior will be something different, isn't it? If we feel connected to that person, if we feel no, we are part of that person. No, if we feel no, in some ways, you know, we relate to each other. There could be some differences, but still, we are brothers, we are sisters, we are family. Then the equation is different, and the way you treat that person and that situation is different, isn't it? That is why Swami says, think of everyone as your brother, as your sister, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. If we recognize that the other person is not only not different from me, but the other person is connected to me, then our behavior to that person will definitely be different. Swami says, the other person is not different from you. You and he are one only. If you hate that other person, it amounts to hating yourself. Sarva jiva tiraskaram keshavam pratigachati, Swami used to say. Sarva jiva namaskaram keshavam pratigachati. Whatever you do to the other person, you're doing it to yourself. Because there is nothing like another person or object in this world. There is only one. And that is the stage of Advaita. When we completely live with that feeling, and that's the state where the saints are, where enlightened masters are, where they completely identify with everything around. And that is the reason why their hearts are as broad and infinite as it is of the cosmic consciousness. Whomever you come across, Swami says, consider every form as nothing but the manifestation of divinity. Do not give scope for differences of I and you. Swami says once when speaking to the students, you see somebody laughing and think that he's laughing at you. But how can you conclude in this manner? Swami gave a little story of a famous wrestler. He was doing exercise on a road early in the morning, and a woman was coming from a village to sell milk and curd. And when this wrestler looked at that lady, the wrestler thought that the lady is laughing at him. And he became very angry and he shouted at that woman saying, how dare you laugh at me? Do you know who I am? Do you have any clue of my strength? And the woman said, what makes you feel that I was laughing at you? I am not laughing at you. I am in my own world. But as you say, if you're really that strong, if you're so strong that you can stop a speeding vehicle with one hand, tell me, what is the use of your physical strength if you lack a simple virtue like forbearance? You can't stand someone laughing at you. You get so angry. What is the point of your strength? So Swami says, whenever you come across someone whom you consider as not your friend, still be very warm, be very loving, offer your pranams, offer your respects. And Swami says, that is how you will also experience goodness in your life. Swami once said, people very often ask me a question, Swami, how can we achieve unity? Swami said, in fact, unity is the very nature of humanity. The problem is people go on arguing, he's different from me, I am different from him. Divinity cannot be attained by such arguments. Always think that you and others are only one. All these relationships of father, mother, brother, Swami says, they are relationship at the body level. As long as the relationship exists, one should respect that relationship and follow it. If either of them commits a mistake, it should be gently brought to the individual's notice for rectification. But we should not be abusing, not harassing, not causing physical violence and so on. Swami says, if you live in unity, in constantly contemplating on this principle of unity, then you will achieve purity, and Swami will give you darshan, he will manifest in front of you, Swami said. And Bhagwan went on to say, you all belong to me, I don't differentiate between individuals, all are mine and I belong to all. There may be differences in certain aspects among people, that is only from the worldly perspective. At the spiritual level, there is no difference. Since God is present in the form of Atma in whomever you see, you cannot hate or ridicule anyone. And in fact, this is the essence of Bhagwan's most powerful dictum, help ever, hurt never. You can never hurt anyone because there is no other. And Bhagwan very beautifully said, except Swami's love, nothing can protect you. You will have to understand this love principle. Differences may arise among brothers and sisters, but we have to cultivate love for one another. Swami says, always maintain a cheerful disposition with a sweet smile on your face. Never have a castroil face, Bhagwan used to always say. Swami said, then your life will become noble and ideal. You will always be happy and cheerful because when you smile, that is what you will get back. In fact, there is one very beautiful story I read some time back. There was a mighty king who was marching home after a triumphant victory in a gruesome battle, and he had slain the ruler of the neighboring kingdom and he had captured the crown prince also. The army on its way back passed through a dense jungle, and as it was evening, the army decided to halt for the day and they began to set up a camp. Close by in the forest was a hermitage, the abode of a famed sage and his disciples. So the king thought, okay, he will pay respects to the sage. The king went. King sent his minister and soldiers to the hermitage, directing him to seek an audience with the holy man. And Maharaj wants to meet the sage, the ministers told the disciples there. The disciples told the king's emissaries that maybe they can come the next day because Guruji has retired for the day and it will be good for the king to come the next day. The next morning the king went to the hermitage, attired in all his regal paraphernalia, and he went with his retinue of ministers and attendants, and he saw the sage. The sage was sitting under a tree scattering millet seeds. There were around him hundreds of birds of different kinds, and they were pecking at the seeds and they were filling the air with the music of their twittering. It was a very beautiful scene where the sage was having a lovely time with the birds, feeding them and being with them and talking to them and loving them. And the king walked up to the sage, but the sage continued to be with the birds. The sage was happy in the company of his beautiful family of birds, and the king said, "Pranams, Guruji." And the sage did not answer. There was no answer. Now the king got angry. He raised his voice and he said, "Pranam, Guruji." He was offering his salutations, but still there was no answer. And now the king just lost it. He shouted, "Guruji, I am telling you pranam." And now the sage quietly looked up and he said, "Stop shouting. You are frightening the birds away. Don't do that. Stop shouting, O king." And now the king became even more infuriated. He was furious. He said, "Do you know who I am?" And the sage said, "Yeah, I know. You are the one who kills for the love of power. You are the one who knows not that this power is temporary. One day another king shall kill you in the same way. Your love for power shall bring about your downfall." And when he heard this, now the king was in a all-time high rage. He said, "Your impertinence is intolerable. How can you speak like this? I will kill you right now. How can you say that someone will come and bring about my downfall? Someone will kill me. I will kill you right now." And he drew his sword and he raised it to strike the sage. He was mad at what the sage had told him. And the moment the king removed his sword, in that instant, hundreds of birds flew from all the sides and they attacked the king. They flapped their wings vigorously and fearlessly on the king's face. They jabbed at his arms, they pecked at his legs, his body. And the king became so desperate, you know, because there was this avalanche of birds who just completely destabilized him. And the king saw that the birds wouldn't just leave him. The birds wanted to just decimate the king. And when the sage saw that the king is in such a precarious condition, the sage called out, "Leave him, leave him, leave him. Come to me, my dears." And at once the birds quietened down and sat meekly at the feet of the sage. The sage then, in a very grave voice, a voice that commanded authority and spoke of his great wisdom, he said, "O king, realize the power of love. All I ever gave to these birds is love. But the love of power has blinded you. What did it do to you? This love for power has brought you to the level of a killer. You wanted to kill me today. These birds would have killed you. And this would have been a reflection of your own misdeeds. But it did not happen because the birds love me. I rule over these birds. I am also a king. But the only power I exercise over these birds is the power of love. And know this, O king, love is the greatest power on this earth. How many times Bhagwan mentioned in his discourses, transform your entire life into a saga of love. You will then lack nothing to make you happy. All wealth and position will be added on to you because love conquers all. Pure, unselfish love towards all beings, considering everyone as an embodiment of the divine with no expectation of reward. This is what is true love. Swami says, once you practice this love, happiness will come in the same measure. It will come multifold. It will come tenfold and more. And this we will be able to practice if we slowly move from that feeling of others are different from me to know they are part of me, to know they are me. That is the journey of every devotee from Advaita to Visishtadvaita to Dvaita, from Dvaita to Visishtadvaita to Advaita. And that will happen slowly when we give up feeling that we are just this body. And as Swami used to always say, we have to focus that we are not the body, but we are love, we are the Atma. Once we keep that focus in mind, then we will never do to others what will hurt them. Because there is no other. And once you start leading such a life, you will automatically experience only that it's beautiful, good, holy, noble in your life. And that is what Bhagwan has communicated in this principle in segment 7.4 of Sandeha Nivarini. Whatever you feel should not be done to you by others, avoid doing such things to others. Well, there are many more beautiful related ideas to this. In fact, if you just read Sathya Sai Speak, so many examples are there. So many ways Bhagwan has explained this. I tried to share with you just a few insights what came to me. Please feel free to contemplate on these beautiful tenets that Swami has given to us. These are the truths of life which will experience, help us experience the beauty of life, which is love. Let us make this love the summum bonum of our existence. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for this opportunity. I'm Team Radio Sai Bishu. If you have any queries, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments and feedback on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. It was a great joy offering and sharing this session with all of you, offering my gratitude to Swami for this opportunity. I take your leave, bidding you a loving, warm Sai Ram on this beautiful Thursday. Jai Sai Ram.